Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. Today, if you have your Bible, open up to 1 Kings 19, probably a very familiar story for you. 1 Kings 19 is what we're going to kind of be looking at. We're going to skip a few through that chapter. So I'm going to put 10 minutes on the clock and we are going to get started. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your love for us. And thank you that you've given us your word and that by your spirit, your word leaps off the page to our hearts and our minds. And so speak to us, Holy Spirit. Lead us. Help us retain what we hear. Help us apply what we hear because we want to serve you. We speak your peace and your blessing over everyone who's watching in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Kings is this amazing, 1 Kings is just an amazing account. 1 Kings 19 is talking about Elijah at a very critical moment in his life. And this is where we get into the still small voice of God. And so what has happened, kind of setting this up a little bit, is God has done incredible things to Elijah. And if you read the few chapters before the chapter before, you see this victory at Mount Carmel over all these false prophets of Baal were just this amazing, powerful victory in the kingdom of God that Elijah had bold faith and God moved through him. And it was just incredible victory where the enemy was defeated in big time ways. And then you get into verse 19, and what ends up happening, if you look like in verse 2, Jezebel, this idolatrous, evil queen, who was the wife of Ahab, who Elijah just got victory over that, the false prophets that were connected to Ahab, and Jezebel sends a messenger. In verse 2, it says, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life," and this is talking to Elijah, "if I do not make your life," and Elijah had just, again, had just this huge victory. So he's speaking this to Elijah. He says, "If I do not make your life as the life of one of them," meaning one of the people who were defeated and killed, "by tomorrow about this time." And verse 3, "And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life." So Elijah now is on the run. This man of victory and power who just did all this incredible stuff gets this message from this evil queen to intimidate him. And one woman causes him to just run. And he runs in fear and he runs and hides. And he gets down to verse 4. He gets under the juniper tree and he says, "It's enough." This is his prayer to God. He says, "It's enough." In verse 4, he said, "Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." So Elijah is in full blown depression. He's got this message that has scared him and he is in full blown depression. This man who was so powerful and so victorious by the Spirit of God just a day earlier is now running from this queen and in fear, not only in fear, but in depression, praying, "God, take my life. I'm no better. I'm a failure. I'm no better than any of my fathers." And he's in a really, really dark place. And so he slept under this tree. And then suddenly an angel came and touched him and said, "Arise and eat." That's verse 5. And then he looked and there was like basically breakfast right there. And so he ate and he laid down. And then again, an angel came a second time, touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey for you is too great." So a couple things right here so far, just looking all the way down to verse 7, that Elijah was running in fear and just really struggling. And the angel came, and the angel didn't cast out a demon. The angel didn't do some, he did a miraculous thing by providing some food for him, but it wasn't this crazy supernatural thing about Elijah, you know, do not fear and whatever. It was basic needs. It was, look, Elijah, you need to eat something. You need to get a good meal and then go lay down. And Rick Clendenin used to speak about that all the time, about sometimes he's encountered different pastors or different leaders who were struggling with depression, struggling with rejection, struggling with failure. And some of the best advice he said that he gave them was, listen, take a day off, go eat a really good meal and take a nap. Fill your belly and go take a nap. And then let's get up and we'll talk about stuff. So there's some practical advice here that even the angel of the Lord was giving to Elijah. And then he took this journey in verse 8. He rose, and in the strength of that meal, he went 40 days and 40 nights. But notice where he went. He went to the mountain of God. He went to Mount Hor, Mount Sinai. That's where he went to. He went to where the commandment of God was. He went to this holy mountain. And it's just interesting. A 40-day journey brought him to that mountain. And there's lots we could say about what happened at that mountain and everything. But look at the question that God asked him in verse 9. In verse 9, he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Reminds me of how God asked Adam, where are you? You put those two together. Those are great questions. Adam, where are you? You're not where you're supposed to be. Where are you? And then the second question, you know, that he asked Elijah is, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And it's a great question that the Lord is asking him. And so Elijah goes in and saying, oh God, I'm the only one left. I was doing this and fighting this battle and doing, but God, I'm the only one left. And he just whining to God is what he's doing. And then he looks at verse 11. And then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. So the Lord told him to go out and stand on the mountain, Mount Sinai. And the Lord passed by, and it goes through. There is a great wind. And it broke the rock into pieces, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then there's an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then there was a still, small voice. Incredible. See, the first time God was on that mountain with Moses and speaking to the people, the whole thing shook, and there was fire and there was wind. There's all this stuff. The mountain was just, you know, all that stuff was happening. And God spoke in a very loud voice, and the people, you know, heard the 10 words, the 10 commandments, the Decalogue, whatever you want to say, the 10 commandments of God, the first time on Mount Hor. And now he's speaking here to Elijah. And the main thing that God is showing him is the still small voice. And that can be translated the whisper of God. It was a whisper of God. And so in this day of right after an amazing battle, right after an amazing victory, he gets a message from the enemy, and he runs in fear. He runs in defeat. He's believing the lies. He's escaping, and he's fleeing for his life. He prays, Elijah prays for God to take his life because he's in depression. The angel comes and says, listen, you need to eat something, and you need to take a nap. And then he brought him on a journey to the mountain of God. And then showed him, look, it's not about the fire or the earthquake or the wind. It's about the still, small voice of God. And when he heard the still, small voice of God, God asked him again, Elijah, what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here? And he goes in again to, I alone am left. And then God speaks to him through a still, small voice, starting in verse 15, 16, 17. And basically what he says in 15, 16, 17 is, no, you go anoint two kings. There's two kings, and one of them was Jehu. He said, I want you to anoint two kings. So when Elijah is sitting here in depression after one victory, and the enemy comes in lying to him and scaring him and all this kind of stuff, God, through a still small voice, reminds Elijah of the assignment that he still has. And he tells him, I want you to go anoint two kings, and then I want you to choose your successor, the prophet Elisha, who's going to be your successor. And so I think it's really cool that through a still small voice in a time when the enemy felt so loud, in a time when Elijah's personal pain and personal rejection and personal failure felt so loud, that he felt so alone. The aloneness was deafening. The failure was deafening. And so what God did is brought him to a still, small voice to know within your knower that you still have an assignment. And when you hear that still small voice, God brought him out of that panic of fear and panic of depression and being under the sway of the evil one. And in that fear from the messenger from Jezebel, God spoke in a still small voice on the mountain of God where he gave his commands, and he spoke and he said, go anoint. There's my Rocky timer. But he said, go and anoint these two kings and then appoint your successor, the prophet. And it was unfolding the next victory. So the thing I want to say to you and what I want to end and pray for you about is get alone with God, especially if you're struggling with depression. Make sure you eat something. Make sure you go take a nap. And then you listen for the still small voice of God. Be in your Bible, spend time with God, draw in, lean in, get close to God, lean in, get close to God so you can hear the whisper of God. Get away from the noise of the enemy. Get away from the noise of the world. Get away from all those loud voices. Get away from even the voice of you speaking to yourself and lean in to God. Hear the still small voice, and he will show you the victory that's about to unfold in your life and show you what's next for your assignment so that victory can unfold in your life. So Father, I pray over those watching that you, and I thank you, Lord, that you have given us ears to hear and that you help those, especially who are struggling with feeling like failures, feeling rejection, feeling alone, feeling isolated, feeling like they're the only ones left. Lord, that you would remind them that you got 7,000 more. You got a whole bunch more ready to do your will. And Lord, that you will help them overcome darkness and overcome depression and overcome the loud, intimidating voice of the flesh and the loud, intimidating voice of the enemy. And that you, with a still small whisper, a still small voice, will give them direction about what they're supposed to do. Show them who they're supposed to connect with. Show them who they're supposed to pray with. Show them who they're supposed to go to. Help them see their next assignment, God, to unlock the victory that's already theirs in Jesus' name. And I just thank you for it. You're so good, God. I thank you for it. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. See you Sunday.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.